Man, it is so good to see you here on Mother's Day. Going to say a little more about that in just a minute. But I'm glad that you're here, and I wanted to thank you for your kind notes and calls after the cataract surgery I had. And I never dreamed it would be so good to have that. Just thank God so much for that ability. He's given these surgeons to do stuff like that. I look forward to having the second one done. But some of you were so kind to give me such encouraging words, and I want you to know I appreciate it so, so very much. And happy Mother's Day to you mothers. Wow, happy Mother's Day. You know, I feel like I have known the best of mothers in my lifetime. I can remember being just a small little tot and not knowing anything, but observing the role that women played in their family, and I can remember thinking about that and what such an awesome position and responsibility and display of love that they showed. I'm thinking of one family, the Millers. They have a big family and a lot of kids and everything, but I just feel like I've met the best of, or I've known the best of mothers. And of course that continued with my family. You know, my grandmas, both grandmas had 11 sons and daughters, and so I saw them, you know, in their years, love those kids and give of themselves and just hurt when they hurt and laugh when they laugh. And then, of course, my mom. I'll say a little more about that in just a second, too. Then I got to watch Valerie be a mom to our four kids, and knowing her the way I do, the intense love and devotion that she feels for them. And now I get to see it in my daughter. I see her care for Lennox. And boy, I tell you, there's nothing like a mother's love. And I've seen so many women here at Bible Baptist Church these last 19 years, some of which are no longer with us, but many that still are, loving on your kids, loving on your family, being the clay that just builds it all back together and fixes all the hurts and makes it all better. And that's what moms are all about. You know, we joke around with Lizzie here about leaving all the time, you know, going off to see her grandkids. But I tell you what, those grandkids are going to remember that, and that's going to be so special to them that grandma spends all that time and expense and effort to get around the kids, and that's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Somebody said that a mother is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. And I saw that, and I thought, oh, that's neat. I like that. You know, I like that. Rudyard Kipling has a quote. Now, it's not a theologically sound quote, okay? But the thought behind the quote is what I'm getting to. He said this right here. God couldn't be everywhere, which we know is not the truth. God is omnipresent. But he said this right here. God couldn't be everywhere, so he created mothers. And I thought, well, that's neat. I think God uses mothers. He certainly did in my life. He used my mom to do much of his work. You know, I learned so much from my mom. Another quote I saw this week was, a mother's love is the fuel that enables a normal human being to do the impossible. And that's kind of a tribute to my mom. She was always telling us we had the ability to work hard and become what God wants us to become. And so the lesson this morning is actually composed of two titles. I like titles for some reason. I always have. It helps me to think and keep my mind on the lesson as much as I do. But one of the titles that I chose is A Mother's Advice. A Mother's Advice. And the other title that I chose for the lesson this morning, and it has to do with our study in John, we have completed chapters 1 through 6. And so this morning, the second title for the lesson is Belief is an Activity. Belief is an Activity. I want you to turn over to John chapter 2. We've already been there, but we're just going to pull a few verses out of John chapter 2. And you know the story here, the wedding in Cana, in which Jesus turned the water into wine. And we're just going to read the first five verses just to set the tone for this lesson. And verse number one says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Now, you remember where Mary was at this point. Her son is grown, and she's lived with what obviously must have been a stigma in her life for this child that the Holy Spirit brought to her. And so I believe Mary at this point in her life may have wanted to be vindicated and let everybody know that her son is the son of God, that he was God and that he could do this. And Jesus says unto her, it's not time for that yet. I'll vindicate you at another point in time, and that's not the time that is at present. And notice what she does in verse number 5. His mother turns to the servants, saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Okay, so this little phrase, whatsoever he saith unto you, tells me that she is encouraging them to do whatever the Lord tells them to do. Now, she didn't know what was coming. She didn't know the future, but she knew that these servants were here and their job was to do service in this wedding, and she was going to hand all of this over to the Lord, her son, Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, what great advice for a mom to have is do what Jesus wants you to do. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Now, just in that fact right there, her statement involves activity for them. It involves action. It involves them being busy about something, whatever he tells them to do, about them working, about them serving, about them making themselves useful in the kingdom of God. Now, this is huge. Let's not bypass this. This is huge. The book of John is all about truly believing. The book of John is all about having a belief that transcends all opinions and transcends all reflections and thoughts, but a belief that is active, that is busy, is involved with bringing folks to Jesus, about encouraging others to have a relationship with the Lord. Now, I want to go off the beaten path for just a minute here, and when I say this right here, a mother's advice should be to cause belief in the hearts of people. Okay, can I say that again? A mother's advice, especially those who have been saved and they're in the scriptures and they have a faith and a relationship that's close with the Lord, a mother's advice should be to cause belief in the hearts of people. And when I say people, I mean her kids, her grandkids, her sisters and her brothers and her families and her neighbors and her friends and even those who she may not like. Whew, that's a tough one, isn't it? Here Mary was telling these folks to have the willingness to do whatever Jesus told them to do. And I find that kind of belief is the belief that the Apostle John tells us about in this entire book. Now remember, we've used this example over here through the whole book so far, and we're going to continue using it. It's one thing to say, well, that chair looks sturdy, and I believe it can hold me up. It looks like it can do the job. It's entirely something totally different to walk over here and to sit down in this chair and to feel the firmness and the backing and the solidity of these legs here, and it's not moving about much. It's entirely something else to say, I know this chair can hold me up because it is holding me up. And all throughout the Gospel of John, he's trying to give us the
it's busyness. Belief is an action, not just a reflection. Now, it's unfortunate that church culture and Christianity in the past 50 years has gotten so comfortable with the fact that we're saved, we're born again, and we're going to heaven. And because of that, I'm not going to do anything else. And by doing that, they lay down, they forfeit the greatest part of the Christian faith. The greatest part of the Christian faith is activity. He wants us to have a belief in Him that is active, that is full of serving Him, that is full of bringing others to Jesus Christ, because belief is an activity. Now, I want to show you some ways it's an activity. Would you go over to chapter 1, John chapter 1, and we're going to see some of the ways in the first six chapters how belief is an activity. And before we get too far off the beaten path about Mother's Day, let me go ahead and say, in this area, I remembered my own mom. Now, she's been gone now 25 years. And I remember that week, the normal week where people call and they come by and they bring food. I remember it very clearly. And, of course, there were many people calling to extend their sympathies and their condolences and the normal things that we hear when we lose someone that we love. But this was what we were not prepared to hear. Now, my dad graduated from Bible College and he went to Tennessee and started a church in Midtown Tennessee. And then after 4 or 5 years, he started a church in Rockwood, Tennessee. Then he moved to Littlefield and pastored a church in the mid-80s for 7 years. Then he went back to Tennessee and started a church in Robbins, Tennessee. Okay? And then about another 6 years after that, the people in Littlefield called him back to be their pastor again. Okay? So all this time, my mom is being dragged around going to all these places, you know? And she loved it. She had no problem with that. But when she died in that week, the calls and the visitors started coming in there in Littlefield. This is what we heard over and over and over and over again. People all the way from the Metroplex to Tennessee to Littlefield, Texas, this is what we heard. She was such an important part of me trusting the Lord. She was such a, whether it was in a Sunday school class or a friendship or whatever, she had ladies' ministries in all these places too. But what we heard over and over again is she was such a great encouragement for me to be faithful to the Lord. Wow, what a testimony. What a testimony that was. And here Mary in chapter 2, the mother of Jesus, is simply saying a very simple statement to these servants, whatsoever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Do it. A mother's advice. Belief is an activity. And our job as fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, as Christians, I'll paraphrase it, as Christians, first of all, and as parents and as grandparents, our job should be to cause belief in the heart of people. And we know the belief that the Apostle John talks about is one of activity. It's not one that's sitting still. It's not one that is dead and dormant. It's not one that is just knowing the facts of the Christian faith and the facts of the Bible, but one that's living God's Word and one that brings others to God's Word. Activity is all throughout this book. In the very first 7 verses of chapter 1. We're only going to read verse 7, but it says the same came for a witness, talking about John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Talking about the Lord, through him might believe. Now, the God of all eternity, push your rewind button back to the very first lesson we did. The God of all eternity started in motion everything that we have today, all of creation and all the events of this world that has happened. And he did that to bring men and women to him. That's activity. And he wants men and women to believe in him. Look at verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He did all of this. He put all of this in motion so that you and I would believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the believing is part of that activity, but it doesn't start at the belief. It doesn't start and stop with salvation. It's a belief every day. It's a belief that when the doctor tells me I have 6 months to live, it's a belief that should sustain me through that. When my boss tells me that my job is no longer needed and that is gone, it's a belief that should sustain me through that. When my best friend or somebody in my family betrays me and I am at wit's end, I'm at the bottom of the barrel and I'm depressed and discouraged, it's a belief, the belief in Jesus Christ that can sustain me through that. When Andrew and Peter inquired about the Lord, we talked about this in chapter 1. When they inquired about the Lord says to them in verse number 39, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the ninth hour. And when we were talking about that verse, we mentioned how they didn't just have an inquiry about the Lord and then go on their merry way. They stayed. They stayed with the Lord. And they abode with him that day. Why? Because belief is an activity. And their activity was to get to know the Lord and to follow him and go wherever he went. And Andrew's belief was such a strong one in the Lord that he went and got his brother. Look in verse number 41. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Why? Because belief is an activity. Belief is something that I should be busy about doing. And then when Jesus talks to Philip in verse number 43, that says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. There's activity there. Come and see. Put this into motion. Don't just think about this thing. Come and see for yourself. And when Jesus goes on and he goes into the temple and he finds those money changers there in chapter 2 and he throws them out of the temple in what some, I'm sure, perceived as a violent display of anger, look what chapter 2 verse 17 says, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You know what zeal is? It's enthusiasm. It's excitement. It's the love of something. It's an anxious desire to be in that thing. That's zeal right there. And the zeal of God's house had taken over our Lord. And let me tell you, when you have a zeal for something, when you're enthused about something and you're excited about something, it causes you to be active. You don't want to be a dead part of something. You want to be a something that's alive. You want to be an active part of something. Why? Because belief is an activity. It's not just a passive thing. It's something that's very active. Go to chapter 3. And we see Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a good old man. You know that. He had all the right clothes on and he had all the jobs that he was performing and he looked good in the community. But look in verse number 3, chapter 3 of verse number 8. Jesus tells Nicodemus, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." Jesus is just saying, "Look, Nicodemus, you got this all down, and you're playing the part well. You're going to church, and you know how to say all the right things. But Nicodemus, you know when the wind's blowing, you don't know where it's coming from. And you don't know where it's going, but you can see evidences of it. You know? You can see the limbs of the tree blowing in the wind. And you can see the fallen leaves blowing around on the ground and whatever. You can see an exhibit, a display, the results of that wind blowing." And our Lord says to Nicodemus, "I'm looking at your life and there's no activity. It's all dead." Why? Because belief, true belief, is an activity. It's not just a passive thing. And then we go to verse number 14 of the same chapter, and it says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up." You remember the story in the Old Testament. The people were sick, they were ill, they were dying, and Moses told them to look up to the serpent and live. And that's what we got to do in our faith. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We can't be satisfied with our church membership, and we can't be satisfied with putting our church clothes on and going to church. No, belief is an activity. It's service. And the greatest part of our faith, the greatest part of being a Christian, is being able to serve the Lord and being able to serve others. Look in verse number 21. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Here the Lord's saying there should be no doubt who you are. People are going to see it. They're going to see your activity. Now, we don't work to be saved. Let's get that straight. There's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. But going in and trusting the Lord and going by the grace of God's Son, Jesus Christ, once I'm saved, there's going to be an evidence that I'm saved by what? My activity. There's going to be proof in my life that something happened inside, and it's going to be on the outside. There's going to be proof that I'm actually a child of God. Why? Because belief is an activity. Look in verse number 22. "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea." And what's it say? Somebody read that for me. Oh, you remember where we took this verse? "And there he tarried with them." Now this is a little more. Brother Stacy, this one you got to think a little bit on. Tarry, we think of tarry as just waiting, don't we? But what that word means is more than just waiting. It's having a conversation, having a dialogue, spending time and talking about things. And so Jesus met with his disciples, and he spent some time with them. He tarried with them. Oh, can I just tell you, I'm 55 years old, and I have found out that that's what I need in my Christian life. I need time to talk with the Lord. I need time for him to talk with me. You say, how do you do that? Well, through his word, on my knees in prayer, talking with him and tarrying with him. In this case, tarrying is an activity. And it's so, so important. We are so busy. We got all these things. We got all these screens in front of us and all the social things that we love to get on. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. I got two laptops and a work computer and a tablet and a screen. And before you know it, my day can just be full of things. And the greatest times in my Christian life is when I turn all those things off, Linda, and I put them away. And I know you can get your Bible on your phone. You can get it on your tablet. You can get it on anything that's electronic. But you know what I like to do? I like to get with my Bible and leave all that stuff in another room, and I like to tarry with the Lord for a while. That's just me. That's just me. That's an activity. And by that activity, my faith becomes stronger because I'm spending time with the Lord. Look in verse number 30. He must increase. This is John the Baptist. He's fading off the scene. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, there's an activity. It's an activity when we look at our life as a child of God and we say, huh, I find that I'm a little full of myself. I've got too much pride. I got to back off. I got to let the Lord run the show in my life. That's what John the Baptist was saying. He says, I got to get out of this thing. I'm fading off the scene. The Lord's coming onto the screen, and he's the one that everybody needs to be concerned about. He's the one that everybody needs to be listening to. Look in verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, you know, for the longest time I thought everlasting life, every time I read those words in the Scriptures, I thought of eternal life. I don't know why I got to that point. And certainly, everlasting life does include eternal life. That is a part of this deal. But let me tell you, everlasting life includes today too. Right now. The present moment. You say, what are you talking about? We're not in heaven. If you read God's word, you see when God's people go to heaven, one of the greatest benefits and one of the greatest things that's going to happen in heaven is we're going to be able to spend time in the presence of Jesus. Now, we like to think of those streets of gold, don't we, and the mansions and being with him and with our loved ones eternally. We like to think of all that. But I believe if you look at the book of Revelation and a few other books, what you kind of see is we're going to be so enamored with the Savior. It's going to be the first thing on our mind. We're going to be preoccupied in the presence of Jesus. And let me tell you, a child of God in these times today needs to be preoccupied as well in the present. How do you do that? Well, once again, you get into the Word of God. And you let it talk to you. You let it speak to your heart. And you let it tell you what needs to be altered a little bit or changed or you let it encourage you. That's part of everlasting life. For today, let's have some everlasting life on Mother's Day. Let's bask in the presence of the Lord. Let's bask in the presence of His Word, and let's let Him speak to us. Why? Why do we want to do that? Because belief, true belief, is an activity. And that's what John tries to tell us in this gospel. And we're out of time, so I'm only up to chapter 4, but we're going to go all the way and we're going to finish it like we've been trying to finish it. Look over in John chapter 21. Now, one of the great things about the Gospel of John is he lists these miracles in great detail. And those miracles and those signs and all those things that he does are listed. And there's so many of them, but it's just an inkling of what actually happened. Look at the last two verses of the book of John. It says, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true, and there are also many other things. Don't bypass those words. Many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. John's saying, listen, I've given you all this stuff, and I've given you these 21 chapters. And it's just been an inkling of what's actually happened, and I'm giving them to you so that you can have an active belief in the Lord. Look in chapter 20, in verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, what the kind of faith that the Lord wants out of me and the kind of relationship that he wants to have with me, it's an active faith. And it's a present relationship. He doesn't desire for me to just get used to coming to church and plopping down in the chair and doing whatever and just getting into a ritual. No, He wants me to trust Him, and He wants in all the things in my life, the other 6 days of the week that happens, He wants me to place my faith and my trust in Him. Why? Because belief is an activity. And just like me sitting on this chair right here, after I sit in it a while and I've moved around a while in it and I've moved around in it, Linda, and guess what? It hasn't crumbled to the floor. I can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it is trustworthy for me to sit in. It's safe. And what the Apostle John is trying to get us to see is your faith should be an active faith. And your belief in the Lord needs to be relevant, not just in church and in Sunday school, but when that thing happens in your life. God, help us to have the kind of faith that is real and that trust in Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. And God, help us to see that we've all got so much to give in the way of service.